Father, do your thing. Let your spirit work. Let your spirit move. Comfort and convict where comfort and conviction is needed. That is the work of your spirit, and we gladly invite that to take place. Lord, I don't think we need to invite you to be here. You're already here. So Lord, would you allow us to be with you? Would you allow us to just be ministered to by you, God? Bring us here. Gather our attention. Gather our focus. We love you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. It's the second book in the Vintage Testament. I'm trying to get that one started. Do we like it? Vintage? Old Testament? No? Okay, some of you guys, I'm getting glares from some of the King James people. It's Old Testament. We get it. It's the Old Testament. The second book of the Bible, Exodus. Let's start in chapter 18. I believe that's where Pastor Brian left off. So Exodus chapter 18. We'll dive in there. My son is amazing. And one of the things that I love about my son and the gift that God has given me is that it's a gift that really he's given all of us, whether we have kids or not. But he's really called all of us to lead. I really believe that. I really feel he's called all of us. I think it's clear at the end of Matthew when Jesus says, you're to go and make disciples. He's called all of us to invest in people, to invest in each other, to share our stories of what God has been doing in our lives. And that's beautiful. And you see this in the book of Exodus. I don't know if you've caught this yet, but Exodus, when we think of Exodus, it's not so much exiting Egypt, right? Although that is a big, big deal, right? It's not so much exiting Egypt as much it is entering into the promises of God. It's not so much exiting the life behind as much as entering into a life of worship. And maybe you've caught on to this. As you've noticed, some of Pastor Brian's titles on Sundays, it's called to. What are we called to? And he's going to share Sunday. He'll be back sharing about being called to prepare to hear the voice of God, being called to a life of worship. And I guess I should share. He wanted me to share. Pastor Brian's getting really old. How many guys, amen, if you noticed that one? No one bold enough to say amen? Okay, he's getting old. One thing that is awesome about Pastor Brian, about those that you may know that have been in ministry for any length of time, you really get to see a lot of people grow. I mean, physically mature, but also spiritually. And today, Pastor Brian is with his wife, my mom, at a celebration service, a memorial service, for someone that he had in his youth group 50 years ago, 60 years ago. I don't know, how old is Pastor Brian now? No, like 30 years ago, 25 years ago. He won't hear this podcast, I promise you. We'll lose it or something. But that's why he's not here tonight, and that's why you have the substitute teacher. So we're not showing videos. I'm going to teach. Whew, let's do this. So Exodus, not so much leaving Exodus as much as entering into the promises of God. And same for you. It's not so much about a life of what I'm called from, but a life of what I'm called to. Amen? It's not so much about what I'm supposed to put away in my life as much as about what I'm supposed to receive in my life. And as I receive from the Father, say amen. As I receive from the Father, none of this has any desire in my life. I'm no longer focused on what I need to leave, but focused on, Father, what do you have for me? Where do you want me to go? And this is what we see in the book of Exodus. And we see this right here in chapter 18. And I want to back up a little bit, if we could. We see a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for generations. We see an older generation pouring into a younger generation. And just to set this up, Moses is out with the crew, out with the Israelites, the Hebrews, and they're traveling. You guys have been along with the journey with us, right? A few of you? Okay, great. You know what's going on. You've heard the book of Exodus? All right, perfect, perfect. We're good. We're already ahead of the game. So Jethro shows up. He hears what's going on. He wants to come and really hear what's happening. He shows up. Jethro is the father-in-law of Moses. And at this point, we know that Jethro is a priest. We do not know what kind of priest he is. Honestly, I don't know. Historians go back and forth. I don't know if we could say that he is a priest of Yahweh, a priest of Elohim, a priest of El Shaddai, a priest of the one true God, or if he's a priest, Scripture says he's a priest to the Midianites, and we don't know if he's a priest to idolatrous activity or idols. We're not really too sure, but there's a moment that we catch here that I think is really beautiful, and I don't know if I could totally stamp it as this was the turning point in Jethro's life, because we don't know much, but we see that he comes to recognize the work of God, the hand of God. And isn't that why God has been doing all of these things within the recordings of Exodus? Isn't that why he said, listen, Moses, this is what I'm going to do in Egypt, and it's so that they may know, so the Egyptians might know that I am. It says, listen, I'm going to give you bread, I'm going to give you water, that you might know that I am, that I'm still in this, I'm in your life, I'm working in your life, I'm leading you. And we see this come out in the testimony of Moses to Jethro. Let's start in 18:7. I know we're backtracking a little bit for those of you guys keeping track, but let's watch this. So Moses, say Moses. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed down and he kissed him. Just pause there. I know Pastor Brian said this before last week, but there's something beautiful and something so amazing, and I believe it's Holy Spirit-led, and God calls us to do this when we honor those in our life. I mean, here we see him honoring someone older than him, and yes, please do that. But also as we honor the younger generations as well. That he says, listen, I know God's speaking to me. I know God's calling me to lead either hundreds of thousands or millions of people, wherever you want to land on that. I know God's doing this, but I'm not too good to not bow and recognize people that are in due of honor. He bows down and he kisses him. He honors his father-in-law. And they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced. They rejoiced. Isn't that awesome? When you share some sort of testimony of what God has done in your life, and someone responds with rejoice. God says, listen, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Share your story with someone. Allow someone the opportunity. Don't rob someone the opportunity of rejoicing. Share your story with someone. I lost my place. He's rejoicing. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know, he says, I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Amen, if you've experienced that in your life. That you know, that you know, that you know that God is greater than anything else on this planet. That God is greater than anything else that could numb you for an evening. Anything else that could distract you for a couple weeks. That God is greater. He says, I know that God is greater. Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. For in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. It's so beautiful that he would come, that he would want to hear of what's going on in his son's life, that Moses would be so willing to share the things of God and what he's doing. And what we're about to see, this is kind of where we're starting for the evening, is Jethro recognizing the power of God through Moses, recognizing the gifts that maybe God, Yahweh, the God, has given Moses, but still wanting to help Moses, still called to serve Moses, still called to invest in Moses. Would you guys turn with me? This is a Bible study, so we're going to jump. Would you guys turn with me to the book of Titus? The book of Titus, chapter 2. And if you got to go to the table of contents, do it. No, we're not pointing fingers. That's kind of the bonus of the digital Bibles, right? You always got to go to the table of contents, so it's kind of a help there. Some of you guys don't have digital Bibles. It's okay. We'll get that joke later. Titus, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. This is what Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for you and I. Titus chapter 2. Amen if you're there. We got three people. We'll wait. It's okay. I'm going fast. He told me to get through two chapters. I'm trying, guys. Titus chapter 2. It's in the New Testament. Titus chapter 2. Amen if you're there.
Amen.
All right, we're going. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men, say older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, say older women. Older women likewise. Okay. James Steyer, 555-457-3012. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Ladies, this is for you. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Guys, you ain't out of this one either. Likewise, men, this is for you. Exhort the young men. Encourage them, challenge them, build them up. Exhort the young men to be sober-minded. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed because they have nothing evil to say of you. Because we are called to invest in each other. We are called to invest in the next generation. We are called to serve one another. And where we see opportunity and where opportunity has been given for us to speak into those lives, we should do that. We should do that. And I don't care if it's a believer or a non-believer, would you honor them and serve them and love them? And maybe if they don't know Jesus yet, but by the way you've decided to invest in them, that they might come to understand that God is greater. Now I know that God is greater than anything. And this is what I think we see kind of modeled here with Jethro witnessing the way Moses is doing some things. And Moses, as Pastor Rick and I were sharing, Moses might still have a little bit of Egypt in him. He's trying to lead in the best way he knows possible, but what he's seen modeled for him before. And some of us might know this too. As unbelievers coming to know Jesus, maybe we didn't have a lot of people following Jesus in our lives to model for us what it looks like to best serve, to best lead, to best invest in people, to best carry ourselves and represent Jesus. So I'm not saying that Jethro is a believer, that Jethro is a follower of Yahweh, but Jethro sees an opportunity where there is some poor health taking place in Moses' life. And the way Moses is conducting ministry and the way Moses is conducting business, maybe some of you men and some of you women see that in young ladies and in young men now. And would you be bold and courageous enough to say, man, can I take you to coffee? Could I love on you? Can I invest in you for a minute? There's some habits that I see forming now. And you're all right now, but my fear is that it might do this in the future, and it would be totally unhealthy for your family, for your workplace, in the way you represent Jesus. Can I invest in you now? Can I help you to be better now? Set each other up to succeed. Set each other up to succeed. Verse 13, we're getting started now. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses. I'm back in Exodus, I apologize. Exodus 18, chapter 18, verse 13. So Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. That's a long day. Some of you guys thought standing in Disneyland's lines for an hour was bad. Could you imagine standing all day, all day? I don't know if it was harder on the people or harder on Moses. Verse 14, so when Moses' father-in-law saw, he was observing, he was watching. He was already proud, but he's watching. He saw all that he did for the people. He said, Moses, can we talk for a second? Explain to me, what is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? What's going on, Moses? Help me out. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me, say me, to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, say me. And I, say I, judge between one and another. And I, say I, make known the statutes of God and his laws. You can already imagine how exhausting that might be when thinking about it. Verse 17, so Moses' father-in-law said to him, listen, the thing that you do, man, it's not good. It's not good. I just want to give you some counsel, Moses. It's just not good. Both you and these people, listen, you're going to wear yourself out. You will surely wear yourself out. Isn't that true? Can any of you guys identify? When you begin to do things, and you may have pure intentions, but you recognize you're doing it out of my strength. I am the one that I'm doing. I'm doing it for God, but it's I that does it. It's me that does it. I love people, but I think I could do it better. I love people, but I think I have this thing down and I can do this. Man, you want to burn some people real quick? Do it all on your own. You want to burn yourself out real quick? Do it all on your own. And Jethro's coming in and saying, listen, this isn't healthy. This isn't healthy. Let me help you out. He says, you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. He says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand before God for the people. Before God for the people. So that you may bring the difficulties to, what's that word? God. Moses, don't bear the burden yourself. Let God deal with this. Seek God for more counsel on how to lead people and how to invest in people and how to even listen for people. Seek God. And then he says something that has been one of the most impactful verses in my probably adult life. In 2001, I was going away to college, and it was August-ish, and we were at some burger restaurant, and it was kind of like the Last Supper with the family. Mom's in tears, probably. I can't remember it all. I'm just excited, college. Like, I'm out of here. Let's do this. We're in Southern California. My parents hand me a gift, and I think they, like, it was like two books. One was some sort of college survival, like how to do laundry or something like that, because my mom's awesome, and she loves me, and she does my laundry, and she was worried and concerned. She's a mom. Amen, moms. Okay. They hand me two books. I remember one was something like that, and then the other one was a Bible. In this Bible, there is one passage highlighted. In the whole Bible, there's one passage highlighted, and we're about to read this verse now. And in the front of the Bible, my parents wrote on it a date. It was actually September 1st. I remember. I can see the book cover right now. September 1st, 2001, and on the left-hand side, it's my dad's handwriting. He says, Nathan, he says, may these words in Exodus lead you, as your mother and I have chosen them to help guide us and lead us as well. And this is what he says. I think it's one of the most powerful verses for me as leaders. And I think it's for everyone. And this is, let's look at it. I'm getting ahead of the game. Verse 20, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. He says, and you shall teach, say teach, teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. One of the biggest misconceptions I think that we have as believers, and maybe outside of the church as well, is that leaders are the ones that are always speaking. Think about that. Man, I can't lead that person to Christ. I don't know how to talk well. Moses had that excuse, right? Listen, I'm not very charismatic. I can't gather a crowd. I'm not a leader. But as we see here, I feel that Jethro is instructing Moses and saying, leaders are not just people that could speak. In fact, in this passage, that's only half the equation, or a third, if you want to say that. As I've shared with my team that we get to lead young adults, I let them all know there's a handful of them that probably are great vocal leaders. They could stand, they could command presence, people want to follow them. There's a lot of people that aren't. But the way they live their life for Jesus, man, that screams louder than some of the ones that can speak. You hear what I'm saying? We're all called. We're all called. Jethro is saying, listen, Moses, it's twofold, buddy. I want you to speak. I want you to teach them the laws and statutes. But maybe even greater, I want you to show them. I want you to show them the way they must walk. I want you to show them the work they must do. So much of our communication is nonverbal these days, is it not? Many leaders say more will be caught in your life than will be taught. You will observe other people and it will impact your life maybe greater than anything I have to say this evening. And they never spoke a word. D.L. Moody said, out of 100 people, one person will read the Bible. Out of 100 people, one person will read the Bible. 99 will read the Christian. It's big. It's heavy. Saint Moses, I'm going to give you some instruction. I'm going to help you to ease the burden so you don't wear yourself out, so you don't wear the people out. But before I do that, know this, Moses. Know this. This is your role. I'm saying this to you tonight. This is your role as well. You're to teach them the laws and statutes. You're to show them the way they must walk and the work they must do. Teach and show. It's twofold. What does Paul say? He says, listen, imitate me as I imitate who? Christ. We're ambassadors of Jesus. We represent him just as much the way we work and the way we show, as much as we do in our language. Teach and show. Teach and show. I'm so grateful, my son. He's the best. Again, if you guys didn't get that, write that down. It's important. It's going to be on the test. He's the best. I'm so excited to have my son watch me. And I know I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to fail. And I pray he calls me out on those things. I pray he says, Dad, you said this and then you did this. Can we talk about it? Yeah, buddy. Yeah, I messed up, man. Let's talk. I'm so excited to have him observe me, to have him watch me. Because I think my wife says sometimes I use too many words. I don't know. She says sometimes you explain things like too many times and you're saying the same thing. She says sometimes you're saying the same thing and you explain it too many times and you say it too many different ways to say the same point. And I don't know what she's talking about. But I know that I have a better opportunity of showing my son how to live a life dedicated to Jesus than I do speaking it to him. And maybe even a greater opportunity, because he might tune my words out as soon as he hears Dad's voice. But he's going to watch me. He's going to say, is Dad really serious about this Jesus? Is Dad's life really sold out? Does he really care? Does he believe what he tells me? You're to teach them the laws and statutes, but even greater, Little Country Church, you're to show them the way they must walk and the work they must do. Moving on, because the clock's way too fast. Verse 21, moreover, this is the instruction he gives him. He says, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God. That's a good quality to begin with when you're choosing leaders. Such as fear God, men of truth, men that hate covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Just organization to ministry, Moses. This is going to help you out. It's going to help the people out. It might help things to go a little bit easier. You're going to stay involved in ministry longer. You're not going to burn your family out. You're going to know what to say yes to and what to say no to. This is what he says, 20:22. And let them judge the people at all times. Share it. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden, say burden, with you. Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 2, you can write it down. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to do this together. We're not to do this alone. And I know because I've been here, Little Country Church has been preaching this to us the last few years. It's not the Pastor Brian Blank ministry. It's not the Pastor David Steen ministry. In fact, it's Jesus' ministry, but we all get to be involved in it. We all get to be involved in it. And he may appoint some people to lead and cast vision and guide and make sure that you're healthy in ministry. And that's fine. That's great. That's awesome. But would we come under? Would we be the Aarons and the Hurs? Would we be the elders of Israel? Would we be the people that say, hey, listen, if you find me responsible, man, I want to lead. I want to serve people. Let me take care of that one. Let me disciple this person. Let me disciple that person. And we'll all go faster, further for the kingdom of God. Verse 23, if you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. And all this people will also go to their place in peace. Say peace. Thank you for the peace of God. Thank you, Father. Verse 24, so Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. What a beautiful thing. Could you imagine, like, I know it hasn't been that great for Moses at this point in his journey, but man, he's leading tons and tons of people. And his father-in-law, some of you guys have father-in-laws? His father-in-law comes in and says, real quick, I know you got them out of Egypt, and I know you crossed the Red Sea, and you did all this, but can I give you a pointer? And he has the humility and the honor and the love, the reverence, the teachability to say, yeah, man, I don't have it all together. You got something I don't see? I love encouragement. I love some wisdom. I love some counsel and insight. All I know is that I'm being obedient to God. God asked me to do this. I'm trying to do it the best that I can, but if you have ideas, man, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. Teachability. May we remain teachable as followers of Christ, any age. Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful moment of leadership that we get to witness. Beautiful. Moving on, because I was asked to, chapter 19. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. In the third month, I'll touch on this now. It'll make sense in a second. Some of you guys, Bible nerds, anyone in here, Bible nerd, show a hand. I'll give it to you anyways. You guys can feel like you're really smart anyways. As I was reading, there's a lot of scholars that differ on this. Obviously, the word says in the third month, say third month. Third month. It says, listen, 3 months after they left, this is what's happening. And that's very simple. I think it's easy. It's in there in the Hebrew. It's there. There's a lot of scholars that, or I shouldn't say a lot, a handful of scholars that want to say it was 50 days afterwards. And you'll see in a second, they want to say it's 50 days afterwards in I don't know. You can believe that. It doesn't matter. Jesus is still Jesus. He still died. He still rose. He's my Savior. But 50 days, they want to paint this picture, and it's a cool illustration, cool picture of Pentecost that took place, Acts chapter 2. Some of you guys know that one. Acts chapter 2 took place 50 days after Jesus ascended, that the Holy Spirit came. And what we're about to see, it's a great illustration. It's a beautiful shadow of the things to come is God is about to descend on Mount Sinai and meet with Moses. And there's thunderings, and there's shaking, a cloud fills the mountain. And it's kind of a parallel of Acts chapter 2. So some scholars really are considering that, man, it was 50 days. It was just like the Pentecost, but of the Old Testament. It was 50 days. And I don't know if I could go there in my conscience. I think it was 3 months. The word says 3 months, and so I'm going to say 3 months. So in the third month after that, this is what happens. Israel camped, they camped before the mountain of Sinai. Verse 3, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings. Say eagles. And brought you to myself. I'm gonna deflate some of your guys' bubbles right now. And I don't mean to do this. Eagle's wings. Maybe Pastor Brian's mentioned this before and you remember. As we were in Israel this last year, and I've heard this before, eagle's wings for us, it's not the bald eagle that we so love and cherish and protect and like celebrate. No, no, no. It's a vulture. It's on vulture's wings. I hate to do that to you. It's the griffin vulture. Possibly the griffin vulture that they speak of. It's translated more, a better translation is vulture, not eagle. But these vultures, they're huge. They're huge. They can weigh up to 25, 30 pounds. A wingspan of about 40 inches. Zing, gotcha. About 48 inches. They're about 4 feet long. But that's huge. I'm probably 7'2". It looks different from where you're sitting, but I'm probably about 7'2", and my wingspan is about 5-6 feet. It's weird, I know, but it's where you're sitting. But could you imagine maybe, I don't know, about that long? 4 feet? And this is what I was thinking about. These vultures, these griffin vultures, they live in the mountainsides, on the rocks. So I was thinking about this picture that God paints for these people. Say, listen, I got you out of there on these wings. Like, I cared for you. You want me to get that? You got that? All right? Okay. Text them. We'll be done in like 30. I got you out of there on these vultures' wings. And some people believe that these vultures and even eagles, that when they are teaching their young to fly, they might fly under them. And then as the young get tired, they can kind of land on top of the wings. And the mother can kind of take them to safety. But this is what I was thinking. He says, listen, I got you out of there on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Where do the vultures go after they're done doing whatever they need to do? They go home. Where's home? It's the rock. It's the high protected place. Where does God bring us? He brings us home. He brings us to the rock. He brings us to the high, strong place. Gorgeous picture, right? Awesome, awesome. This is what he says. He says, listen, I got you out of there on eagle's wings, vulture's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if, he gives them a choice. He says, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. A kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Kind of implying that you will be so near and dear to me. That you will have opportunity to interact and have a relationship with me that others, maybe the commoners, the non-believers, don't. He says, if you just follow me, just obey me, just keep my word, and we're going to do something special. That's what he says. Verse 7, so Moses came and called for the elders of the people. He's implementing what Jethro had set up. Called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together. That's a pretty quick answer, all the people. I wonder what was that. You guys ever played the game of telephone? I wonder how many mixed messages were going back and forth between hundreds of thousands of millions of people, like from this level to this level to this level. What came out after? If you, like, there's some commandments maybe of something. I thought I heard commandments. And if you keep them, then we get to live with the priests. I don't know what it said, but something like that. Might have been mixed messages. So it happened. The people came back. Verse 8, then all the people answered together and said, listen, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. He met with the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, this is what I want you to do, Moses. Go to the people and consecrate them. Set them apart. Cleanse them today and tomorrow. And let them wash their clothes and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And a lot of this, Pastor Brian will share Sunday morning with us. And how do we prepare to hear the voice of the Lord? How do we prepare to worship God? Verse 12, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him. But he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet, say trumpet, when the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. That's a clue. When the trumpet sounds, they shall come near the mountain. Verse 14, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes, and he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. This was order. Listen, you aren't to have intimate relations with your wife. You are to be clean. You are to be separated that we might present ourselves before Yahweh. Verse 16, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud. That was the clue, they knew. So that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. We don't have time, but I would encourage you, write down Acts chapter 2. Write down Acts chapter 2 and just go back and read it. As I said earlier, it's a cool parallel. I think you kind of got to do origami to the Word of God to get 50 days out of it. But it's a cool parallel that there are some similarities in what God did in Acts chapter 2 and what God was doing here in Exodus 19. And the purpose of this, as is the purpose of any work of the Holy Spirit, was to let people know who God is and that He is in control, that He is leading. The purpose of Acts chapter 2 was the gospel to go out, to let people know who Jesus is, what just happened 50 days ago, and the opportunity that they might have eternal life. Verse 19, and when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Whew. That was nice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, listen, I want you to go back down. I just got all the way up here, man. Are you kidding me? He said, listen, go down. And this wasn't the first time he'd be doing this, right? As you guys know, the book of Exodus, this isn't the first time in history that Moses is going a lot of up. And a lot of, he must have had just like tree trunks of quads. And man, this guy must have been just yoked from the waist down at least. He's lifting a rod, so he's getting a little iron up top. That's okay. But he says, go up. And then God says, listen, no. You got to go back down. I want you to warn the people lest they break through to gaze at the Lord. And many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, hey, listen, God, remember, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountains and consecrate it. Oh, that was a test. Maybe God was saying that was a test. I don't know why Moses had to remind God. Maybe Pastor Brian will answer that one on Sunday. Verse 24, then the Lord said to him, away. Listen, go back down. And then come back up. Oh, my word. Lord, we're grateful for your servant Moses. And it wasn't me. Thank you. I don't exercise a lot, but I went running the other day. I didn't even get 2 miles. I got like maybe 3/4 mile in, and I texted my wife, hey, can you get a huge cup of ice water for me? She was laughing the whole time until I got home. I was dead. Couldn't breathe. That's not a sight I want my son to see. I want him to see like awesome buff, lifting a gallon of milk. Look out, oh yeah, you can't do that yet. Look at this. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what kind of guy he sees. Oh, good. God help me. Verse 24, then the Lord said to him, away, get down, and then come back up. But I want you and Aaron. I want Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Obedience. God, we give you this time of response. And we ask, Lord, do what you do best, Father. Speak. Speak to us. Comfort us. Challenge, convict us where needed. Amen.